I wouldn't want to be in Google's offices these days trying to figure out how to A, not just adjust to AI, but B, they have their own tool. So you can't just go and say, oh, AI content's bad because ChatGPT and all these other tools, you know, Claude, and because they've got their own tool. It was called Bard, B-A-R-D, and now it's called Gemini. So they got to be real careful here, right? But Google is evolving their policy around this. It's like with the wind. It's like their policy blows with the wind. This is the Mindshift Podcast, where we share real stories, real strategies that will help you find real success. This is the place to hear from people just like you who have taken their ideas, goals, and dreams from a point of inspiration to realization, or when life knocked them down, from a point of breakdown to breakthrough. I'm your host, Darrell Evans. Let's get started with today's episode. Hey, my friend, welcome back to the Mindshift Podcast. We are in quarter number two. I hope you're doing well. I hope quarter one finished out good for you. Start of 2024, we got three quarters left. And in this particular episode, we're going to get into a topic that has been coming through my agency, through a number of my conversations, and is specifically not just marketing, not just digital marketing, but we're going to really talk today about SEO and AI generated content. What are we able to do now with these AI tools, which provide tremendous speed, efficiency, lower cost, flexibility, and quite honestly, for the 81% of small business owners, specifically here in America, who are sole practitioners in their business, means it's them and them only. AI represents such a tremendous opportunity for leverage, one of my favorite words. Today, though, we do need to get into a few questions that have been coming in. I want to talk about these in order of the question, in order of priority that I think you would want to hear them in. Number one, is it okay to use AI to write blog posts specifically for SEO? Number two, a question's come in, is it even legal, right, to use AI to write these articles? And I think that's an interesting question, but I get where it's coming from. Number three, does Google penalize AI-generated content? Number four, can AI-generated content hurt your search engine rankings? So when we think of a penalty, and I'll talk more about algorithm updates in a moment, but when we think about a penalty, we could think the website gets penalized, or we can actually think, do they just reduce the rankings? And I'll talk a little bit about that. And last but not least, I'll talk to you about how AI can be used for SEO and a new, safer way to think about it. It's really the approach we take at our agency. And the backstory there is simply this, is that when companies hire our agency, we are stewards of their capital. We're stewards of their investment. And so we have to be very mindful, not just to jump on the latest trend, the latest tech, and the latest tool, because we're stewards of their capital, not just to get them a return on investment and get them the results, but we are stewards of their capital. So that's how we think about it. If you're brand new to this podcast and you have no idea who I am, my name is Darrell Evans. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Yoko Local, host of the Mindshift Podcast, founder of Mindshift Business Academy, where we help entrepreneurs market, grow, and scale their businesses. So in today's episode, let's dive right in. I want to start first with just kind of the question comes from one of the four major challenges that small businesses are facing today that really keep them up at night. One of those, and probably the reason for this question and in general, is the first major challenge that most businesses face is that they're not getting enough brand visibility online and in social media for that matter. Number two, the big challenge is they're not generating enough leads from Google or their website, which is really the heart of where this question comes in, because if you are already doing well with Google and or your website, then this conversation about AI and SEO really wouldn't be relevant. So that's challenge number two. Challenge number three is you're not generating enough ROI from the marketing efforts you're working on. And so you're now starting to question whether or not this is a viable strategy. Are you approaching it the right way? And one of the big ones that a lot of business owners face, small, mid-sized America specifically, big corporations don't have this problem, and that is having enough time, talent, and strategic leadership in your company or you yourself to be able to execute everything that you have to do to be successful online today. Those are the four big challenges that we help companies solve, the four big challenges that we help our business owner clients solve. And so as we dive into this SEO and AI content discussion, I wanted to make sure that all of the context for which I'll go through this is related to those four problems. So let's break it down. I've got some notes here just because I wanted to be clear. But over the last several months, Google has articulated its stance related to AI generated content, primarily reasserting their kind of belief and standards that if the content is quality, provides utility, usefulness, right, and adheres to their guidelines, it doesn't matter, so they say, whether it comes from AI or a human. But here's the challenge. They've changed their stance about four times over the last 12 to 15 months. So that's where a lot of these questions are coming from. So let's kind of think about it. Now, ultimately, this idea of content quality is kind of in the eyes of the beholder, you would think, except when you dig deeper into Google's standards and guidelines. So they emphasize high quality content, whether it's AI or not. But what we really have to understand, and what I want you to take away from, is understanding the formula EEAT. It's called EAT, but it was changed about a year and a half ago, where Google used to say that the first E stood for expertise. E, expertise, A, authority, T, trust, trustworthiness. Well, then they added an E to their Google spam policy when they added the extra E. So now it's EEAT. And now that extra E stands for experience. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. So now it's expertise, experience, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. That's the formula by which they are qualifying the quality of the content, not so much the origin of the content. In this is still left to be discussed, well, what's quality and what's not? So let's go to second point. Their guidelines consider that content that's generated 100% from AI in another article, by the way, there's different debates about this, but in another article, they say that 100% AI content is spam. So which one is it, Google? Is it we don't care, or is it spam, right? So I think the issue that we're facing, which is probably the third idea here, and that is that I don't know that Google knows. I wouldn't want to be in Google's offices these days trying to figure out how to not just adjust to AI, but B, they have their own tool. So you can't just go and say, oh, AI content's bad because ChatGPT and all these other tools, you know, Claude, and because they've got their own tool. It was called Bard, B-A-R-D, and now it's called Gemini. So they got to be real careful here, right? But Google is evolving their policy around this. And I think it's kind of on a very lucid sort of ever flowing. It's like with the wind. It's like their policy blows with the wind. They do, you know, in some areas, we've heard them say they do not recommend that publishers only produce AI content. And they certainly say that they would prefer, I don't know if it's going to become published yet, but they do prefer that if you do publish 100% AI content, that you let the public know that it was 100% published content using AI. That's sort of not yet a written rule, but it's something to keep in mind. Let's go to this next point. And that is for content guidelines around publishers. You know, so there's some publishers out there that are not only creating it with transparency, AI, and then saying that it's created with AI, they're working hard to make sure it aligns with the EEAT concept, and they're doing well with that. But they're also trying to make sure that the reason for creating the content aligns with what we call consumer intent. And I think that's really the point that I want you to take home, is that the point of this argument about AI content and SEO isn't about us. It's never about us. We've been in this agency space now for over 13 years. The search engine is not about us. It's about the consumer who goes on a search for a question or a problem that they need to solve, and Google wants to provide the best result. So it's not just about how the content was created, Because before AI, there were these software tools called content scrapers and content repurposers, where all they would do was scrape the top 10 blog posts and then spit out something new. So this is just a new era of what we call content quality. As a brand, your job is to aim to create content that is helpful, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, useful, provides that utility, and gives that consumer, whoever that person is searching, a good experience with the result. I want to transition to some recent updates that I think are important for you to know about as you think about your content and your SEO strategy. And we're in the middle of this all day, every day. So I want to jump back to September of 2023, and Google came out with the third version or third iteration of their helpful content update. This particular update, by the way, this is an algorithm update. And so when you're looking at your Google Analytics charts or inside your analytics tool package, whatever software package you're using for analytics, you may notice fluctuations in your blog content, in your web pages. That is not you. That's not something right or wrong. It's the simple fact that there's always this testing going on with the algorithm. There's always these tests. But more importantly, Google did an update, and it was pretty major last September 2023, called the Helpful Content Update. And it was the third version of it, which was the most impactful of it. And they updated their algorithm to really look at the content as to whether or not it was helpful. Excuse me. They penalized content that was unhelpful, deemed low quality across not just English language, but across all languages, and that heavily focused on promoting, things that were against their Google Webmaster guidelines. And by the way, you guys, if you're not using the Google Search Console, which is a free tool that Google gives you, and tie that into your website and tie that into your Google Analytics package, you're missing out on one of the most insightful pieces of data you can have about your website and how it's performing on Google. So you won't be surprised if you're using the Google Search Console as well as Google Analytics. And we'll link up the resources to get that if you don't have that already. When we start an audit for SEO, which we just started a big client audit and assessment from a little bit of a challenge that they ran into here recently, though they didn't use a ton of AI, we always go to the Search Console first. Okay, so this helpful content update, again, going back to EEAT, again, you want to write that down, you want to look that up, we're going to bookmark it in the show notes. EEAT is something you should always be thinking about, and I really want to talk about our solution to that related to the second E that got added, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. So let's talk about this idea of, you know, I've had people say to us, well, Daryl, we see big companies like the Associated Press or Forbes or these media companies, they publicly show that they're doing and using AI, and their posts seem to be doing fine. Their rankings seem to be doing fine. So the key here, I think, is it goes back to AI out of the box just doesn't produce quality. Why? AI out of the box doesn't produce quality because all it's doing is regurgitating what it learned, right? So it's crawled the internet and pulled all that information in. And so all it's doing is giving you something back that it learned. Literally, it could be okay, but it doesn't mean it's unique. It doesn't mean it provides unique perspective. And that's where us as brands, when we produce content, we should always be adding our perspective, which is why I think Google added that extra E to the equation so that it could actually prove where the separation is. And I'll talk to you how we do that and how I'd recommend you do that in just a few moments. So the goal here isn't just to debate about SEO and AI and whether you should or whether you shouldn't. The goal is to continually look back at that formula, EEAT, and is this really a quality piece of content? Will it serve the person who sees it? Will it, if Google puts it on the first page in number one, number two, number three, number four position, will this be the best result they could find? That is SEO at its finest. Let me be clear. Google doesn't care about SEO. Google doesn't care about us if we're doing SEO for our website. They don't care. They care about who? Their customer getting the right information when they need it, whether that's a product, whether that's a local map listing, whether that's a local service provider, whether that's a piece of content, whether that's a solution, whether that's a product, whether it's a review. The goal, if we sit in their seat, is to understand, is this piece of content we're publishing going to help the reader get where they want to go, Okay. So I don't have time to go into algorithm updates, or should I say recovering from an algorithm penalty or an algorithm update that hurt your website. If you would like to get more information on that, you can certainly reach out to us. Maybe I'll do an episode. We've actually talked about this at length in our community. And maybe if you want to hear more about that, just reach out to me on Instagram at Mr. Darrell Evans. Let me know if you've been impacted, and maybe we could set up an assessment and figure out what's going on with that situation. I want to transition as we wrap this up, and I want to make a couple of bold statements. And this is where I stand on it. I've been saying it for quite some time. This whole idea of SEO and AI-generated content, and what I'll talk about in a future episode, which is the new search generative experience, which we'll link up some details so you can find out more about that. Just don't want to get too far into it today. But SGE is now the Google AI experience, where the AI is going to come provide you the results. I, you know, again, for another conversation, but it's a hot topic right now in what's going to happen with the search engine as AI continues to evolve and expand. How will Google remain relevant? I mean, I know a lot of people I talk to are not using Google as much as they used to, because they'll run to ChatGPT to get their quick answers. You know, like, why would I go look through 4, 6, 8 blog posts or run multiple queries or searches when I can just get a quick answer from ChatGPT, right? So not just ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, could be a bunch of things. So Google's going to be in a battle to remain relevant, not right away, but over the next 5 to 10 years, it's a real conversation. But here's the point I want to leave you with, and then I'll leave you with a strategy that we employ, and I think it'll be helpful for you. Number one, just let's remember, approximately in 2023, Google earned $237 billion, which is about 77, 78% of their total revenue of approximately $307 billion. So let me repeat that. 77% of Google's revenue comes from ads. 77% comes from advertising, not what we're talking about today. Okay? So what's important about that that you should understand is, while it appears that SEO is free, a lot of people debate me with this, SEO is not free. SEO takes time. SEO costs money to get the writing done, the assets, the images, whatever it is you're doing to produce the content. SEO is not free. It's a trade-off. But Google makes 77% of their money from advertising. I believe in the long run, they're going to do everything they can to protect that revenue stream, right? So that's why this isn't an immediate concern or an immediate impact as to how, even in my opinion, how SGE is going to play out. But I think what we need to understand here is, how do we play the game better? How do we use SEO? How do we use AI with SEO? I want to finish this with a quick idea. EEAT, and I'm going to talk just about how we've approached the second E that they added. When you think about expertise, authority, and trust, and they now added the word experience, the best thing you can do to showcase your experience is to include and start with video. Now, I'm not talking about becoming a YouTuber. I'm not talking about fancy jump cuts and fancy editing and all of this stuff. I'm not talking about becoming Mr. Beast. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you, Mr. or Miss Lawyer. I'm talking about you, Mr. or Miss Plumber. I'm talking about you, the chiropractor, you, the dentist, you, the software company. I'm talking about using video to demonstrate, to answer frequently asked questions, to discuss latest trends, to describe case studies. And I can go on and on, because we've got about 12 to 15 different formats that we work with our clients on in video, so that we can then use AI to reverse engineer the content we're using in our blogs, the content we're using in our SEO efforts. So we're starting with the end in mind and using AI to power our speed and efficiency on the way back. So in short, I'm not suggesting you just try to become a YouTuber and start creating videos every week for the sake of trying to be popular on YouTube. I'm saying that the use case is the same things that you would write about. I would have you sit down, and we do this with our clients. We sit down with them once per month and we interview them about the topics and the subjects that we would then be writing on. We will then take those interviews, and we're not talking about just taking the transcript and posting it up as a blog. That doesn't work. If you haven't tried it, don't try it. It doesn't work. We're talking about handing that over now to our blog writers, who can then now combine the words of the brand, which allows for the experience of the EEAT formula to be added to that content, which now makes it more useful, more relevant, more helpful, because we didn't take it out of ChatGPT. We didn't take it out of Gemini. We have a super efficient process, and it'll work for you as well, whether you're working with someone like us or not, but you're using AI on the back end, not the front end. That's the concept that we've spent time with. And because I know you're probably going to ask, you're probably going to be like, hey, do you have an example of how this works? Well, it happens that we do. We've recorded an entire webinar presentation with our friends who absolutely are our favorite tool right now from an AI perspective in terms of reverse engineering this very process. And we spent 15 months now building out our SOP around this process, and it's working like a charm. So in the description below, you can see a link to go watch the replay of our video and our on-demand class that was about 10xing your content output using AI the right way. And I'm telling you, it's about 45 or 50 minutes. It'll take you through exactly our process, how we use it, how we're using AI with it, and how we're using it to leverage not just what we do on Google, but also how we leverage content in other places in your marketing. Because if we go back to the very beginning of this, we talk about the four major challenges, and that is, how do you get it all done when you're a small to mid-sized company? Okay. We want to use leverage. We want to get leverage. We want to use AI. We want to be smart. We want to make sure we're tied to Google's guidelines. We want to cover EEAT. We want to take advantage of all of the latest, greatest speed and efficiency tools that we can use, but we've just got to take it a more smarter way. Well, I didn't address the question about whether it's legal. Of course it's legal. The question is whether or not, using AI that is, whether or not it is going to meet the quality guidelines. And as far as legal goes, Google's guidelines are their guidelines. So of course they're the law, if you will. Listen, AI is not going anywhere. AI generated content is not going anywhere. SEO is not going anywhere, at least not for a while, especially as long as Google's making 77% of their revenue from AI. I'm sorry, from ads. So we just need to know how to adjust in the game, right? 13 years ago, this wasn't the game. 17, 20 years ago, this wasn't the game. This is the game today. And if you're the small business owner, mid-sized business owner listening to this right now, this is the shift you've got to make. You've got to make the shift, not just to go cheap, quick, and fast. You've got to make sure you take the extra step to say, okay, is it expert? Sure, it's expert, but chat can give me that all day. Is it authoritative? Debatable. Is it trustworthy? Maybe, maybe not. The key differentiator, though, is how do you add your experience to the content? And I would, again, have you watch the on-demand class that we've got posted up down in the description below. Let us know what you think. And if you need some help with that, feel free to reach out to us. Listen, let me get out of here. SEO, AI-generated content. Is it okay? I think I answered that. Is it legal? Who knows? Does Google penalize it? Depends. If you don't meet EEAT, sure. Can it hurt your rankings? Yeah, if it doesn't meet EEAT. And how we use it. So hope you found this helpful. It was quick, it was powerful, it was fast, but you can win in SEO and you don't have to do a lot of the crazy things that you think about. Check out the on-demand class, How to 10X Your Content Using AI. Reach out to us if you have any questions, if you need any help. And if you haven't done so already, hit the follow, hit the subscribe button. I'll see you again on another episode of the Mind Shift Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Hey, my friend, thanks again for listening today to today's episode of the Mind Shift Podcast. Listen, let's not have the conversation end here. Connect with me on social at Mr. Darrell Evans on almost all the platforms, with the exception of Facebook. My Facebook fan page is at Darrell Evans Fan. Until next week, remember, you're just one shift away from the breakthrough you're looking for.